I now give the floor to His Excellency Raymond Tshibanda Tungumbolongo, Minister for Foreign Affairs and Cooperation of the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Madam President, at this time when I take the floor from this rostrum, on behalf of His Excellency Joseph Kabila Kabange, President of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, that it is an honor for me to represent here today, it is with the true pleasure that I join my voice to previous speakers to congratulate you on your election as President of the 71st Ordinary Session of the General Assembly of the United Nations, and to wish to you, as well as to your Bureau, every success in the execution of your mandate. I address this well-deserved homage to your predecessor for the tireless efforts that he has deployed that so greatly served our organization, Madam President. Inspired by the desire to achieve peace, security, and development in every one of our states, as well as throughout the world. Last September, together, we all established a new global development agenda that we wanted to ensure would be sustainable for the next 15 years in order to overcome the challenges of underdevelopment, poverty, and to create a more just world which would be more solidary, would be more stable, where equal opportunity would no longer be an unattainable dream. The topic of this general debate, which is the Sustainable Development Goals, a new push to transform our world, is an unquestionable opportunity. It enables us a first overall assessment with regard to the direction we have taken for the new agenda so that, if necessary, we can rectify its path in order to guarantee the attainment of the goals. Drawing on the lessons made with regard to the implementation of the Millennium Development Goals, the DRC has made the choice of integrating the Sustainable Development Goals in our national strategic development plans. This is a long-term view and a strategic framework in order to make sure that policies and actions are coherent, that take up the issues of climate change and the African Union 2063 agenda, which commits us to a process which will hoist the Democratic Republic of the Congo to become the middle-income countries by 2021, an emerging economy country by 2030, and a developed country by 2050. In order to implement this plan, we will put together a five-year plan, which goes firstly from 2017 to 2021. In this first five-year plan, the priority will be given to improving human capital by taking up the issues of democratic dividends, which require close collaboration between the various development actors at the national as well as international levels in order to guarantee strong economic growth, sustained economic growth, but also, and more importantly, to be inclusive. Specific attention is thus given to the specific needs of young people and women in terms of education, training, their technological and scientific knowledge, health, and job prospects. The actions which we'll be putting in place thanks to the choices we have made have been designed in order to implement and complement, but not to substitute the work in terms of infrastructure and necessary transportation that we need in order to bring products to the markets and in order to favorize the mobility of people and goods. Now, beyond the strengthening our national statistical system, we have had a population census, and for housing, in order to have reliable data, in order to have development programs and to assess them. What's more, in my country's case, this is going to be linked to mobilizing funds, especially through easing the conditions for donors and to diversify financial resources. Madam President, with regard to the political scene, my country has entered the crucial phase of administrative decentralization in order to have local management. Each of the 26 new provinces in the DRC now has its own local authorities, freely elected by the populations. With regard to the governors and vice governors of the provinces, these elections took place in March and April of this year. This new democratic experience will continue with organizing future elections of local authorities in the urban as well as rural areas, which will take place at the same time as presidential elections, legislative and national and provincial elections. The DRC has made an irreversible choice in making sure that one would have access to lead the country only through election. And we make a solemn statement that in despite of the delays, the initial elections planned for the beginning of this year will definitely be conducted by the National Independent Electoral Commission, which, constitutionally speaking, has the exclusive mandate to do so. The elections will take place as planned. In other words, as soon as the technical conditions allow us to hold these elections. Many other challenges need to be overcome first in order to organize free, transparent, credible, and peaceful elections. And it is in order to, together, to make sure that we have a consensus-based elections to overcome these challenges, that the presidential majority, the political opposition, and civil society actors met together over 2 weeks in order to create an inclusive national political dialogue with the facilitation of the African Union and supported by the International Support Group. The right to elect and to be elected is a fundamental right for citizens for the Congolese who live in the DRC, as well as for the diaspora. The major challenge today in exercising this right is to make sure that we have the inclusivity and the reliability of voting registers. In this connection, I would like to welcome the important role of registering voters that started on the 31st of July of this year, and which gives the possibility for people to run for office and to vote, and has included over 14 million Congolese, those who live in the country or abroad, one-third of the electoral core, which without the reforms could not have enjoyed these rights. The current political national dialogue in the country and the process of peaceful resolution of disputes amongst Congolese in order to organize and to consolidate democratic elections should benefit from all of these supports, and especially political actors who are not yet participating in this process will be encouraged to do so. On the other hand, any recourse to using violence should be strongly condemned and the perpetrators punished, as well as any incitation to any insurrection or any other non-constitutional access to power. Madam President, promoting human rights has made advances in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. We are a post-conflict state, and we are facing numerous challenges. 2 months ago, we hosted in our country a visit from the UN High Commissioner on Human Rights in the framework of our cooperation with his office and the Human Rights Council. We are planning to pursue and to deepen the reforms in this area. And this has been the case with regard to protecting the rights of women. Two important laws have been recently promulgated. One law on gender parity and a law on changing the outdated provisions of the family code in order to make sure this law comes into conformity with international laws. Right now, as regards violence against women, we have seen reliable indicators, which have seen a net reduction in sexual violence, that is, from 2014 to 2015, a drop of 50%. With regard specifically to the right to health care, significant progress has been made in fighting HIV/AIDS and malaria. However, we need to continue to be vigilant with regards to certain cross-border diseases which had been eradicated in the past with regard to cholera and yellow fever, for which we have seen some indications of reemergence recently. Madam President, MINUSCO's mandate has been extended until 31st of March 2017 through Resolution 2277 of the Security Council with a view to assisting the laudable efforts that the RDC armed forces have been deploying to root out the armed groups who are still resistant to peace. While welcoming this assistance, the government of Congo notes that with regard to the security sector reform, which is being executed now, the National Defense Forces are being more efficient and extremely more efficient in the execution of their mission to protect the national territory and provide security for the goods and for goods and people. With regard to this strategic dialogue with the United Nations in order to achieve a progressive reduction of MINUSCO manpower and to transform this mission in the future. Madam President, after having informed you with regard to the situation in my country, I now would like to tell you a little bit about the RDC's vision on some other major issues throughout the world today. The United Nations, since its existence, has numerous important achievements and successes in the area of peace, as well as security and international cooperation, as well as in areas which are linked to the cause of human rights and social and economic development. But in spite of all of these laudable results, international peace is an ongoing quest. And now, living in a world which is continually changing and evolving, the United Nations are called upon, in exercising their specific mandate, to call themselves into question and to continually adapt in order to better face the new challenges and threats facing the world today. This is why it is necessary to conduct reforms of this international organization and its means and modes of operation. And in this regard, we need to look at extending the membership of permanent and non-permanent members of the Security Council. The RDC is attached to this reform very firmly, which, in order to be a viable reform, must take up the political and numerical weight of Africa in the General Assembly in order to enable it to fully take part in the decisions that concern it, especially since two-thirds of the situations reviewed in the Council in the Security Council concern Africa. To do this, the Ezulwimi consensus remains the only acceptable foundation for negotiation. In this same context, it is important to also strengthen the decision-making power of the General Assembly and the Economic and Social Council in order to promote peace in terms of the social justice, of democracy, and for development. The international financial trade architecture must also undergo profound transformations in order to adapt to international evolutions and changes so that the UN can be a source of hope for all. What's more, our organization needs to promote more transparency and democracy, especially with regard to selecting the new Secretary General, while preserving the rules and practices that have proven to be efficient, and in this case, the regional diversity. Madam President, our fight for peace is also fighting terrorism. This scourge of our century must remain a top priority for our organization, for my country. Today, terrorism is the most serious threat to international peace and security. Despicable and blind acts which mark it demand international solidarity as well as permanent dialogue in order to better organize our retaliation against the scourge. The people living in the eastern part of my country, especially in the region of Beni, have more than on one occasion become innocent victims to the violence of terrorists. This is why we reiterate here today our support for the global anti-terrorist strategy, as well as our firm condemnation of the scourge in all its forms and all of its manifestations. Madam President, our planet today is confronting an unprecedented environmental challenge called climate change, which has a direct negative impact on the quality of our lives and which mortgages the very future of humanity. This is why, after having actively taken part in the negotiations and the conclusion of the Paris Climate Agreement, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, through the intervention of its head of state, signed this agreement on the 22nd of April here in New York. And now we are finalizing the ratification process, which should come before the end of this year. The Democratic Republic of the Congo welcomes another major advancement with regard to international governance, that is, the adoption of the final document of the last high-level meeting on managing the massive displacement of refugees and migrants. It is high time to stop these thousands of deaths in the Mediterranean and to look at the profound causes of these displacements, which are mainly poverty, armed conflict, and the lack of resilience after disasters. We must make sure that we resolve these problems so that all citizens of the world, and in developing countries specifically, to live in peace and happiness in their own countries. This is the very basic principle of the 2030 development agenda, that is to say, not to leave anyone behind. Madam President, I focused my comments today on the launch of the DRC of the implementation of the Sustainable Development Goals from the beginning of 2016 by elaborating priority actions while focusing on the links of its goals and in my country's new strategic development plan. I gave an general overview of the political, electoral, and human rights situation in my country while mentioning the partnership between my government and MINUSCO. I called for United Nations reform by enlarging the UN Security Council and strengthening the mandate of the General Assembly. I also stressed that there is a need for international solidarity as well as permanent dialogue in order to better organize our common response to the fight against terrorism. I also recalled the significant importance of the Paris Climate Change Agreement and welcomed the adoption of the final document on the strategy of managing massive displacement of refugees and migrants, and noting the interest in looking at the deep roots of these evils. I will conclude by once again reiterating our faith in multilateralism and to express the hope to see everyone to uphold and to promote its principles and values in the interest of international peace and for the benefit of all humanity. And now I also would like to salute and to also to pay tribute to Mr. Ban Ki-moon, whose mandate at the head of our organization is coming to an end. We'd like to thank you for his signal contribution to preserving these principles and values and for his decisive contribution to reestablishing peace and stability in my country. Madam President, thank you very much.
I thank the Minister for Foreign Affairs and Cooperation of the Democratic Republic of the Congo for his statements.